Let us ensure that our cell phones are silenced, and please help me welcome our first ever 10-minute speaker, Melanie from Lompoc.
Hi, my name is Melanie from Lompoc. But I've been called worse. Wow, I was like, 10 minutes, okay. So normally 3 to 5 minutes, I can do that. I can do an hour. I don't know if I can do this. So this may be 5 minutes, and I'll give Adam a little bit more time. But wow, first off, I want to welcome anyone who's new. I want to say thank you. I'm so grateful to see all these faces that are here to support me and the people that I've gotten to know through the years. Some more recently than others. I'm just really grateful to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am going to tell a very short version of my story. I am from West Texas, a little town called San Angelo. If you're from there, it's one word, San Angelo. And I try really hard not to sound like I'm from Texas, but when I talk about it, it tends to come out. So you'll probably hear a little twang. I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in utero, which I know a lot of you have heard me say that before. And what I mean by that is my dad got sober when my mom was pregnant with me. And my mom was very active and going. Some of my earliest memories are of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was very dark. There were ashtrays that spun, which, you know, for a toddler were super cool. And my mom used to tease me that my first meal was coffee grounds and cigarette butts because I put everything in my mouth. Surprise, surprise, why I'm here. So that was kind of my beginning. And my dad stayed sober my entire life. He died in 2013, sober, and about a month before his 41st birthday. And he was my spiritual giant way before I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. I am one of those backdoor, come in the back door. I have a little brother that's a few years younger. And, you know, I was always the crazy wild child. He never got in trouble. And so needless to say that in his 20s, my early 30s, when he went off the deep end, we were all surprised it was him. I was just better at staying pregnant. And he had trouble with that. And then I stayed sober because I was pregnant. And so I have 5 kids, you know, and nursing and pregnancy, I pretty much, you know, drank like a normie. But I didn't drink often. And that craving would go away because I wasn't drinking. I didn't realize that then. I just thought, oh, yeah, I'm definitely not an alcoholic like I thought I was in high school. You know, no, because I'm going this long without drinking. So long story short, my little brother brought me into the rooms of Al-Anon. My mom, black belt Al-Anon, she's the only normie in my family. And Al-Anon is where I learned about the steps and about the program. And probably 4 or 5 years into Al-Anon, maybe more, I can't remember at this point. My brother has 20 years, so I don't know how many years, and I have almost 12. So let's say 11, because we don't take fronts. I got into Al-Anon, and it didn't take long after a few years that I suddenly hated going. And I was going every week. I had moved out here to California, and I realized my dad had died. I went through a trauma at work. I went through a divorce. Well, I wasn't divorced, but I was acting like I was. And my marriage was a mess. So I came back to, I was here in Lompoc, brand new, didn't know anyone. And I realized in Al-Anon that I was not in the right room because I was drinking every single night. And for those of you who didn't drink hard liquor, that's me. I thought, well, I'm not an alcoholic because I don't drink hard liquor. But very quickly I learned that that doesn't matter. 3 bottles of wine is a lot. So I just found Cody. So I don't know if you've been giving me signals on time, but I didn't know where you were. So that was my story. I was up, I weighed about 115 pounds and I was drinking a lot and had all these excuses. But long story short, I knew where to go. And once I got in the rooms, I never quit coming back. And I did all the things that were suggested. I got a sponsor, I worked the steps, I became of service, all those things we know. And this being the 6th month, I wanted to just talk a little bit about something from the 12 and 12 that hit me I can't remember what page it's from, page 63, and I didn't bring my reader, so I'll do my best. There's a part where it says, any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly, and that's like huge, repeatedly, step six, on all their faults without any reservations whatever, has indeed come a long way spiritually. You know, all those character defects that I had when I got here, I kept listening to that step six, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can give up all of those things, or I don't even know what. Other days, I was like, I don't think I have any of those things. And but what I learned was when it came to doing that step, and my sponsor had me, after I did step five, it was pouring rain. We had been together like 7 hours because that's me. I'm a type A. Like, I wrote down like my life story for my step four and every resentment I've had since the age of three when my parents had another child, you know, like I wrote them all down. And it took a long time and it was pouring rain. And she sent me home and told me to read six and seven. And she said, then I want you to journal. And that was probably one of the most, I used to try and describe it, but I'd read this little poem I wrote and it sounds really hinky and stupid, but not for me, not in that moment. In that moment, my eyes were opened that this program saved my life. That that by sitting there and listening to her list my character defects, which by the way, was not fun, and at first I argued, I got very defensive. That's not a character defect. defensiveness was on there. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she listed, one of them was a God complex. And I was like, that's not on the list. That's not in the book. And she's like, yeah, but you got it. And, selfishness and self-centeredness and self-loathing. I was like, that's a defect of character. I thought that was just low self-esteem. No. All those things I realized that were keeping me from that sunlight of the Spirit. And, you know, I wrote this silly poem about, it's not silly to me, about being a seed. And that metaphor of like that seed is so hard, you know, the outside of it looks dead. But when you put it in the ground, you know, which is this program, and then you water it with all the steps and the work and recovery, right? And the service and the unity and the fellowship. And you water it and you water it and it starts to crack, but it's still in the dark. You know, I had to keep working those steps. I had to keep moving forward in order to start to sprout. You know, and at first I was really little, didn't know I was, but I was. And barely, you know, hanging on to life, but that sunlight of the Spirit in that moment, it just hit me like how, you know, God's working through that soil the entire time, you know, even though I'm in the dark. And so for me, that was a really profound moment. And I had God in my life. I had God, but I did not have a higher power. You know, I had a master's degree in divinity. I was pastor of a church. I had God. I had faith. But I did not allow my God to be my higher power. And so I am very grateful that I learned in these rooms, you know, how to say, instead of saying my higher power that I choose to call God, I say my God that I choose to call a higher power. Because it's a choice. I get to make a choice to lean into these things. I get to make a choice to be willing to follow my higher power's direction. And I don't do it perfectly. I still have those character defects. But what I learned from my mother before I ever entered these rooms that I didn't understand until I did my 6-7 and got through those with my sponsor. My mom always said this my whole life. She said, you know, your character defects are your assets run awry. And that's what it talks about in the big book and in the 12 and 12, where it talks about like how we believe that our natural desires, we lean too far into them. We go too far. And I am notorious for taking things one step too far. And I've learned in here to dial that back a lot. And I'm so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous and for the opportunity to be here and speak with you today. Thank you.